the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Marks and Markets, it is time for Rant Wrestling Episode 71. I am Foodie KD, one half of the World Tag Team Champions, also known as Mr. Two Tongues. That is still my gimmick. And I'm joined here by the one and only Tweener World Champion, still champion, after successfully defending it last weekend. That is his 10th time this month. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Doomsday. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's feeling real good. First day having Chipotle in like 2 years. It tastes fantastic.
Dude, I really need to stop going. That is it. That's the last time I'm going to Chipotle this month. I gotta cut it off.
Like when you do it regularly, it doesn't taste as good, you know? And like
yeah.
It tasted like fantastic after not having it like for like how many 2 years, man. It was so good.
Yes, it was very hearty and very satisfying when you get that nice little Chipotle right there in your sunk. Great stuff. We're here to talk about wrestling, right? Is that it? Not talk about it. We're supposed to rant about it. This is random wrestling. We gotta rant on things. Let's go ahead and talk about this battleground that happened on Sunday. Same day as Evo, because I was doing both two things at once. WWE's Battleground, Doomsday, did you watch the entire show?
Yes, I did watch the entire show.
I watched kind of the entire show. I did see all the important parts, though. That's a plus. And this actually, honestly, this is probably one of the better shows that they've had. I enjoyed it. I really had fun. Let's see, we can start with the pre-show match. King Barrett does retain his King of the Ring crown after he defeated R-Truth. Wah, wah, wah. And Bell's probably King Barrett's only win this month. So hopefully he'll just enjoy that. Randy Orton defeated Sheamus. And I'm tired of seeing these guys wrestle. I'm tired of seeing these guys in the same ring with each other. That match was really, really, really good. Probably one of the better opening matches that they've had, I believe, this year.
Yeah.
As far as, like, opener of the year. You have any thoughts on the match itself?
Yeah, I thought the match was good, but I'm just tired of seeing them together all the time, you know? Yeah. That's just my thing. Like, right. I think they need to figure something else out, man. I don't know.
As big as the roster is, you would think that these guys would, like, not run into each other for another couple of years. I mean, my last memory of Randy Orton versus Sheamus, they was in front of that Raw after WrestleMania crowd. And that's when the fans started chanting for other names and other wrestlers.
Right, I remember that.
Like that. Yep, the same guys. But this match actually was really, really good. I enjoyed it. And, like I said, that was probably the opening match of the year for me so far. They both worked hard. Not bad. Randy Orton did win. The Primetime Players successfully defended their tag team titles, making million-dollar moves against the New Day. The New Day was exciting and pretty darn cool. But the Primetime Players pulled it off, and I believe that was the shortest match of the night.
Yes, it was.
Yes. So, you got any thoughts on the tag team title match?
I thought it was all right. Like,
yeah,
nothing special, but it wasn't bad.
Right. Didn't even need the title change. New Day is still going to be rolling on. I'm pretty sure their gimmick is starting to sail finally. With and without the tag team titles. So it's a positive on both sides. Not a bad match. The next match was Bray Wyatt, and he went up against Roman Reigns. Now, this match I didn't really see much, but I did see some of it. But I did catch the last little part. Roman Reigns got a hit from behind from a guy with a hoodie on, but the camera angle clearly showed that it was the Luke Harper's. Bray Wyatt, his sister Abigail. Bray Wyatt wins thanks to Wyatt family member Luke Harper, who basically wasn't really doing much because Eric Rowan was hurt. Bringing the family back together, I see it as a plus. What do you think, Doomsday?
Yeah, I told you guys about this like weeks ago. Like, I did say that Luke Harper is going nowhere. Bray Wyatt is basically going nowhere. Might as well bring them back together. And lo and behold, they did it that night. And I'm not surprised at what happened. The match itself was pretty good. Yeah, it definitely progressively got better as the match went on. But yeah, I definitely, again, with Wyatt, I definitely saw that coming with Luke Harper coming back under his good graces and shit. So it's going to be interesting. They also had a rumor that's been going around saying that Sting is supposed to come back. And I don't know, like, feud. I don't know if he's going to feud with the Wyatt family teaming with, like, Reigns and Ambrose or what. But that's what the rumor has been. I don't even think that's anywhere close to being true. But it'll be funny.
Yeah, like, someone, I don't know who said this. I was listening to some show, some podcast, and they were saying the family, the Wyatt family, are better together.
Yeah.
You know, and I believe that is true. Them being, you know, by themselves, yeah, but it's a complete package that these guys have. Yeah. And when you put them together, they make magic happen. Same thing with the Shield, you know, when they put all three of them together, magic happens.
Magic.
You know, and, I mean, Bray, like I told you before, if Bray wins, he goes nowhere. If he loses, he goes nowhere. Oh, he'll just feud with another person. You know, it won't matter to Bray. He'll still be there, but it's like, he's affected, not affected. He's neutral. You know, Roman Reigns, you know he's going to be world champion in the future. That's a given. We're just waiting on when.
Yeah.
And how. But yeah, Bray is always going to be neutral. I like where it's going. I can see Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper against Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose if that didn't happen already. Or happen on Raw, SmackDown, whatever. I'll deal with that at some point. That's not a bad match for me. Next match that wasn't on the card, but Stephanie McMahon made it happen. This is a triple threat match between Brie Bella, Sasha Banks, and Charlotte. And I think this is probably, for me, one of my favorite matches on the entire show.
Yeah.
I didn't see it coming. And again, backstage, the NXT Women's Champion Sasha Banks had the title, but when she came out to the ring, she didn't have the belt. And I was like, I think she should be shoving that thing right in Nikki's face. Like, this is the title to get. You know, Kevin Owens did the same thing. Just stomped on the U.S. title. I think she should bring that belt up. And it, cause before they didn't show it at all, but they showed it on the pay-per-view when it was backstage doing that little segment. And now, when she went to the ring, the belt was not there. And I don't think the belt was there on Raw neither. I really think she should have that belt out there. It's their title. You know, don't look at it like it's a small title. Even the smallest of titles get shown on paper.
Yeah.
You know, but Charlotte did win. She, I believe she made Brie Bella submit. Sasha did not. For defeat, Charlotte wins. I like the little brawl they had on the outside. All three of these women worked hard, and it felt like Brie had to, you know, keep up speed with Charlotte and Sasha Banks, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, Brie, she did her thing. They had to boo somebody. They had to boo somebody. Because first it was Charlotte, Sasha Banks, and Nikki that was in the ring. But Nikki was like, I ain't got to do that. I ain't got to do shit. You know, but that's the heel. You got to boo somebody. You can't cheer everybody. So it made for a perfect mix to have these three women in there. Granted, like, you know, Paige probably can do the same thing. What's the other girl? Becky Lynch can probably do the same thing also. Yeah.
They even had the crowd chanting for Becky during the match.
Right. You know, all these girls. And NXT, and another thing that I noticed, did you talk about them sharing names of these guys or these girls? They actually was invested. They cared. One of these girls was out there. I didn't hear a pop for these girls until they walked out.
Yeah.
Normally, it'll be a snooze fest. Normally, it'll be a bathroom break. This match was not a bathroom break.
Definitely
the crowd was into Charlotte. It was definitely into Sasha Banks, and they booed the shit out of Brie Bella as if it was freaking, what, Cena, Randy Orton, Batista out there. These guys literally paid attention and cared. They never gave us a reason to care about the Divas Division. With these girls coming up, this might be the turning point. This might be the evolution to the Divas Division. You got any thoughts on the match itself and what this brings to the future of the WWE?
Oh, I loved the match. Yeah, I thought it was great. Yeah, definitely, well, same with you, one of my favorite matches of the night. Yeah, all of them did great. I loved what Sasha did, loved what Charlotte did, loved what Brie did. Like the fans, like, were really, like, I don't even know if, like, the fans are booing her because she's a heel or because they just don't like her. But I kind of felt like it was the latter a little bit for the fact that they were also training for Becky Lynch to get into the match, you know? So I have mixed feelings about them, the crowd reaction when it came towards Brie. Other than that, I thought the match was really great. I'm looking forward to whatever they have planned for SummerSlam.
Yes, on their first try on a pay-per-view, they could have called up Becky, but if you want to go with, like, veteran longevity, Charlotte would definitely be the choice. And women's champion Sasha Banks would be another choice. So, yeah. And Brie being the veteran, former Divas champion, you know, even though it wasn't really that long, still.
And it was half.
It's still, yeah. And I was like, I don't even think Brie Bella and Alicia Fox's title reign combined even matches up with either 2 months of Nikki Bella's title reign.
Yeah.
You know, but hey, they held the gold before, but it was still a great match. And they did it on the fly. And they trusted these girls to do it, and they did it. Good job for them. I was really proud of everybody, even the girls on the outside. I was proud of all of them. They really played a part. Next match, John Cena, the United States champion, defended the title against Mr. Entertainment, Kevin Owens. John Cena defeated Owens via submission. Some people didn't like it. Some people did. Some people accepted it because LOL Cena wins. I liked this match. Out of the three, I can't even rank them. My favorite is still the first one. But I think everybody else's favorite is the second one. This one can be another favorite because, see, Owens did not lose by pinfall this time. He actually tapped out so he can fight another day. You know he loves to fight. Cena wins. He's still the United States champion. Another great match of the night. These guys never disappoint. You got any thoughts on the Cena versus Owens part three?
I definitely felt that it was match of the night. Very, like, I loved all the stuff that happened within the match. A few of the spots looked kind of like Kevin Wood almost took out John Cena's neck, but other than that, it was real dope. He hit a clean code red. Yeah, I thought it was crazy, man. The super AA, him kicking out of that and then having to tap and stuff, you know. Yeah, it was good work. I feel like people are kind of jumping the gun now that Kevin Owens has lost twice to John Cena in a row. Like, people are saying, oh, he's getting buried. Oh, this is terrible booking, blah, 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 and all this other stuff like that. And I'm just thinking, like, yeah, I'm just going to wait and see what happens, you know, because I'm pretty sure that, like, Kevin Owens is safe. If Kevin Owens fails, then everything, it invalidates a lot of stuff that's been going on in NXT, if that makes any sense, you know?
Like, yeah.
If he fails, because it didn't, even going to Neville if Neville fails, then it's gonna be an indictment on the NXT as well. But yeah, that being said, I think Kevin Owens is safe. I'm just gonna wait until to see what happens leading up to SummerSlam. And again, it was a great match. Didn't have any problems with it, really. So yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Kevin Owens, it was a high possibility that Owens was going to win the United States Championship that night. And I think that's why everybody was so disappointed, because they wanted him to win. I had no idea who was going to win. I was just watching the match itself. Owens kicked out a AA off the top rope. He done kicked out of every single thing Cena gave him. And then he finally put him in a tight SDF, finally, and made him tap out. I don't see any negative in the match. And I believe, I was just like, are they going to do Owens Cena 4? If it was up to me, I wouldn't. Because they already faced each other 3 times, and what else can they do when they've done really, really well? 3 matches straight, which, in my opinion, is hard to do, because you always find a weak link in one of these matches out of the series. These guys had no weak links. I'm sorry, it's hard to rank these 3 matches that they've had at different levels. Champion versus champion, the rematch, and the title match. Great matches from these two. But we see where Cena's going. Some people are already speculating that Owens is going to be moving down on the card. You know, he's going to be moving to a different program with someone else. I have no idea who, but I'm intrigued to see who he's going to be working with. It's all a positive. It's all a positive, honestly. And Kevin Owens, they had a lot of confidence in Owens. They brought him out there his first time he beat Cena, and he's carrying himself very well. It would be stupid not to use this guy. Although we've seen him not use another guy before. But still, Kevin Owens, I believe, is one of their top heels in the company. That moves us to the main event, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. The former champion, Brock Lesnar, going up against the current reigning and defending champion, Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins did lose, but by disqualification, because The Undertaker, of all people, came back and cost Brock Lesnar the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I heard that The Undertaker was going to be there, but I totally forgot. I really don't like reading dirt sheets, or dirt sheets finding me. Leave me alone. I don't want to know the spoiler. But yeah, Brock Lesnar destroyed Seth Rollins. It was the point where I was just like, please end the match before Seth gets killed. I think he hit, 13 suplexes? I was counting.
I think it was 13, yeah.
Yeah, he hit him with 13 suplexes. He over there hurdled the barricade when Seth Rollins was trying to run away, and then he just threw him right back in there, did the F5, it was 1-2, and then the gong came out. The gong came out, and Undertaker, I mean, you can't really boo this man. I mean, in my opinion, when he kicked Brock Lesnar in the groin, costing him a match, that's some heel tactics, in my opinion. Now, granted, it's hard to boo someone of the status of The Undertaker. I get it. But I believe that is some heel shit. Brock Lesnar is going to get his hands on him at SummerSlam. They already announced that match. You have any thoughts on the finish and the match itself, Doomsday?
I thought the match itself was great. But yeah, the finish, I don't know, man. I felt like it kind of robbed the whole, that, like, it kind of robbed an ending to, Rollins and Lesnar, you know? It kind of robbed that. I think we'll talk on that a little bit more, but, yeah, I love Undertaker. I lost it when I found out that he did it, but like, still looking back, it's kind of like, yeah, why? You know, it's a lot of questions of why they're doing this now and all this other stuff like that. So, but yeah, that's my thoughts on it.
And I read a couple of people's comments on why did the Undertaker attack Brock Lesnar after he lost the streak a year and maybe some months ago. And I was thinking the same thing, because I'm like, okay, he's been lost that thing. And he moved on to face Bray. And now he's back, you know, trying to get back at Brock Lesnar. But granted, it is intriguing. I will give him that. It is intriguing. I will look forward to this match. But man, is this the right time for Undertaker to come back?
I don't know, man. I guess it kind of makes sense leading up to SummerSlam, because, like, it's a big four pay-per-view. So, I guess, I don't know.
Like, and, yeah, and that's the main event of the show, people. Brock Lesnar and Undertaker will headline the show. I mean, some people are already making matches between John Cena going up against Seth Rollins as we move into Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins going up against John Cena. I like how some people, I believe the Last Man on YouTube, he offered it Seth Rollins versus John Cena versus Kevin Owens versus Cesaro, which is like a stacked World Heavyweight title match, which actually could be really, really fun. But I don't see these two getting involved. But granted, what is Rusev doing? Because Ziggler is out.
Exactly.
And what is Cesaro doing? Which he is on fire right now. You know, like he was before. But I don't know if he's connecting with the crowd right now. But those guys aren't doing nothing. They can have a match, I guess. Or they can go for the world title. Which one would you rather watch? Cena versus Rollins or the four-way match that I just mentioned?
Yeah, I'd much rather have it, like, be a four-way, you know? Because, like, just for the fact that you see Kevin Owens and Cesaro elevated to this position that they're in now, and just to have them elevated to this only to be kind of, like, upper mid-tier comes SummerSlam is bullshit. I think I think they need to maintain some type of semblance of, like, of continuity with when it comes to keeping them in the position they are, you know? Like, you can't just have it end abruptly with Owens losing like that, you know? It's weird, you know?
Yeah. Because I'm like, where else are you going to put these guys? Now, granted, like I said, It could be a four way. I would take a four way, you know. But I mean, like I said, what is Rusev going to do? You know, he's just out there. And if you're not going to have the four way, who does he face? I believe he can be a big star for those guys. But back to Raw. Cena interrupted Seth Rollins, and basically saying that the main title was the United States title, in a way. You know, because he's been defending it every week, just about, for his open challenge. And Seth Rollins always runs away with his world title, the main title of the company. So, I mean, he's right in some cases, you know. But if I was Seth, but of course Seth's not going to do this, I would have an open challenge on Raw one of these weeks, just to prove Cena wrong. Like, yeah, I am a fighting champion. I ain't no coward like you saying I am. But honestly, knowing Seth, he would be like, I have nothing to prove. I'm the main guy. I don't have nothing to prove to anybody, especially John Cena. You know, but I'm interested. I'll watch Seth Rollins against John Cena. I'm not opposing to it. You got any thoughts on the matter?
I already kind of told you that. My guy?
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were just talking about the four-way. Oh, all right. Well, what else happened? Two Divas matches was on Raw. Holy shit. I only saw one of them, because that's all Hulu gave me. It was Charlotte against who?
It was Charlotte against... God damn it, what?
Brie?
I think it was Brie, yeah.
Okay. And the other match was...
A tag match.
With, I think it was what, Becky Lynch and Paige?
And Sasha and Naomi.
Sasha and Naomi. That was the one that they showed on the Hulu. Because I ain't watching it real, bro. Two women's matches on Raw. Never seen that before. Or I haven't seen that.
In a while.
In a while or forever. Like, these, they have confidence in these girls. I don't know what juice that man Vince is drinking, but give them another cup. They're working these women just as hard as they're working the men, and I'm proud of them. Let them work. How were the matches, though?
Both matches were kind of solid for the most part. Nothing like spectacular like the night before, but it was. They were both still good.
Good. I don't know if this is going to be a weekly thing, Maybe still just one women's match a month. I mean, not a month, a week on Raw or something like that. Switch it up a bit. Because they can extend this feud because they have a lot of women in there. And I believe that's all the... No. Because they've got Natalya and, you know...
Yeah, there's Natalya, there's Layla, there's... who else? Emma. Who else? Well, Emma's been demoted for a
month. Oh, Lana and Summer Rae.
Summer Rae, yeah, those two.
You know, well, other than that.
On their own thing now, though.
Yeah, they're on their own thing. She slapped the fuck out of her, though. Oh, my God. I did not see that slap coming. It was amazing. I guess we can just now talk about the big brawl with Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker.
That was crazy.
They said that Brock Lesnar was not going to be there. First of all, Triple H already trying to rally up the troops, talk about, hey, your lives are on the line, and the pay-per-view, the main event is on the line. If we don't keep these guys, you're asking me, as a wrestler, you're asking me to hold back Brock Lesnar and to hold back The Undertaker. These are not small dudes, okay? We're going to need a fire department to hold these guys back, okay? Get it? Hold these guys back. Hold these guys back, because they got holes in there. It's like fire department, they gotta put out the fire. Which fire they're not gonna put out with Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker? No, of course not. Brock Lesnar was not supposed to be out there. Heyman was over there running his mouth, talking all that shit.
That was stupid. That was
man, talking too much trash. And Undertaker came right back out and was like, yo, I heard you running your mouth. He was like, no, I'm sorry, I'm a client. Help me, help me, help me. Brock Lesnar sprints down there.
Sprints.
Sprints. You know, didn't stay at the ramp point or nothing. He came down there to fight. Security came out. Wrestlers came out. They went to commercial. They went back. They're fighting in the back. It was a crazy brawl. Your thoughts on the brawl?
I thought the brawl was crazy. there was a point in the brawl where Undertaker starts hitting Connor, and I thought that was hilarious.
Yes, I did see that. And he tried
I didn't really catch it at first. But I ended up seeing it on a GIF, and I watched it back, and that shit was funny as hell. But yeah, the brawl was good. Hopefully, their match come SummerSlam is a lot better than their WrestleMania match last year.
I hope so too.
From the looks of it, I think it'll be better. Just for the fact that I think Undertaker looks a lot. Even though he's older, he looks a little healthier, and in better shape than he was last. This WrestleMania, he was in some pretty good shape. His match with Bray Wyatt wasn't bad at all. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to this because, there's gonna be some, good shit going on in that match.
Another thing, like, the last time they fought, the match was bad, and I think the build was just as bad.
Yeah.
I mean, this build is far better than what they had last time.
Already, yeah.
Yeah, so long as they keep that up, I wouldn't show these guys next week on Raw. I don't want to see Brock, and I don't want to see Undertaker. I don't want to see neither one of them, because mind you, we still got weeks until SummerSlam.
Yeah.
So they can come back, leave you the Raw after that, and plus Triple H is probably going to be like, yeah, I don't want neither one of these guys in the building, because I need to protect the main event of the show. You know, something like that. He can say something like that. But anything else that happened on Raw that we missed?
What else?
I think we got everything.
I think we got everything important. Yeah.
Main stuff. Yeah. You wanna, let's see, what else we got on the list?
We can talk about Daniel Bryan. He has a book coming out. I think what was it called? Something or something something. And
I don't even know what the book is called. But I do know what.
Yeah, I think it's talking about like his improbable journey to WrestleMania. I think that was part of the tagline of the autobiography. Mm-hmm. But in it, there was apparently an excerpt in it that talks about Daniel Bryan and the one time he was ever met with disrespect in the WWE. it was back when he was doing NXT. He was on that, like, nasty losing streak and whatnot. And he was at the airport with some other wrestlers. In comes Ezekiel Jackson. And he starts spouting off at the mouth about who has an aisle seat and whatever. So Daniel Bryan, even though he kind of already figures out what he really meant, he was like, "I have an aisle seat." Oh, yeah. Also, he also called them, "Which one of you rookies has an aisle seat?" That was some disrespect. Mm-hmm. And then so. Daniel Bryan went, like, said that he had, like he had an aisle seat, and then he was like, and then Ezekiel Jackson was basically like, I'm taking it now, it's mine now, or something shit like that. Daniel Bryan, of course, he sticks up for himself. He's like, no.
Yeah. No.
And he would have gladly given it to him if he would have asked politely or whatever. And that's when Ezekiel Jackson gets mad. And in comes William Regal talking about how Daniel Bryan is basically like a son to him and that he has more talent in his little finger than Ezekiel Jackson has in his whole body. And Ezekiel Jackson, walks away. Daniel Bryan ends up taking Ezekiel Jackson's middle seat, but gives his aisle seat away to a different wrestler. So I thought that was really funny.
Yes, injustice. And thank you, William Regal, for going over there to talk about he has more talent in his pinky than you have in your tongue.
It's funny. It's funny because, like, you hear this, and then, like, you look at his character in Lucha Underground, and then you'll be like, yeah, I can see that
right.
Type of, like, extension of himself, like, only in it for the cash, and he's not really that great. And I still find it funny how he was basically almost in, like, the main event picture of Lucha Underground, and now he's working as a paid bodyguard now.
Oh, so he's not on Lucha no more.
No, he's still in Lucha.
Oh, that's his gimmick.
Yeah, that's his gimmick. He's basically just getting paid to be Bashir's bodyguard during his matches and shit.
Ah, I see.
So whack.
Yeah, poor thing. First of all, you ain't coming up to the main man D. Bryer like that, man. I don't care how school you is. He ain't popping up no seat. That man worked hard.
Yeah.
Paved the way, you know. But can't be showing disrespect. That goes for anybody, not just wrestlers.
So
disrespectful. It's disrespectful. I can't believe that. The bastard. Want to talk about the G1 climax?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Okay. Day one happened on July the 20th. I didn't see it, but I did hear that there was a match of the year candidate between Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kota Ibushi.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't. Did you see that match?
Yeah, that match is crazy.
Okay. But yeah, the results in, I'm not going to tell you who beat who, but I will tell you the standings on Block A because that's all they went through. And Block A was a tie between AJ Styles, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Hiroshi Tenzan, Tetsuya Naito, and Togi Makabe. Everybody else has zero. Like Shibata, Ibushi, Bad Luck Fale, Gallo, and Toriano. They all have zero for Block A. I don't even know who I said was going to win, but probably AJ. Still looking pretty good.
I had Ibushi. Which sucks because he already took an L already.
Right.
Now he's already has to do a catch up for it.
Right.
Yeah.
And let me see. Naito fought Fale. Of course, he beat him. Gallows lost to Tenzan. Tanahashi beat Ibushi. Yeah. Damn. 20 minutes. Yeah. Of course, they had a great match.
Yeah, man.
But it's already shaping up a little bit different. Might as well just go through the days right here. God damn. Okay, we might as well just book everything. Fuck. Because next Wednesday will be up day 7. And day 2 is tomorrow. So.
Right.
Let me go ahead and go through. Okay. July 23rd. We'll just start booking from here.
Today's the 22nd, right?
Yes.
Oh, so that means it's early in the morning. God, yeah. That's,
right.
Yeah.
Day 2 will be Thursday or some, I guess. The matches that they have here, this is just for Block B. We're going to be picking the winners here. For Block B, it starts off with Satoshi Kojima going up against Tomohiro Ishii. I'm going to pick Tomohiro Ishii because I'm a fan. Who do you think is going to win out of these two?
I'm going to say Ishii too, but yeah, this one's going to be crazy. If anyone was paying attention and watching G1 day one, they had a tag match, and basically things got real ugly between Kojima and Ishii. Ishii basically spat on Kojima, and it was just a really nasty-ass scene, so definitely looking forward to these guys beating the hell out of each other.
Okay. Next up is Hiroki Goto going up against Yojiro Takahashi of the Bullet Club. Who do you have winning out of these two? I'm going to pick Goto.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Goto. Takahashi, he's just a punching bag at this point. Ever since he's lost the never open weight championship, he's basically been subjugated to tag matches and even and singles matches that always have him losing. So I don't really have too much faith in him winning much of anything this tournament at all. So yeah, definitely going to Goto.
All right. Next up is Yuji Nagata going up against Tomoaki Hanma, and I am going to pick Hanma.
Oh. I don't know, man. Like, I want to say Hanma too, but the fact of the matter is, last tournament he didn't win any matches, and he didn't start winning any matches up until maybe a few months ago. Maybe early in the year. Like, it's been a long road for him. He's just been taking L after L after L with, like, no type of, like, movement at all. So I don't know if they're going to make that, like, big surprise that, oh, he's finally won one at the first, his first showing in this year's G1. So I'm going to have to go with Nagata.
All right. Like I said, mind you, I don't even watch this faithfully, but I'm just going just by picks. Next match is Michael Elgin, the Unbreakable One, going up against the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, your Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada. I'm going with Okada. I believe that is a safe bet. Who are you going with?
Yeah, that's definitely the safe bet. I'm definitely going to say Okada.
Could be match of the night out of the Block B.
Yeah, in that tag match I mentioned, like, yeah, Elgin looked really good during that match. Like, really good. So, if that's any indication, whatever he's going to do with Okada should be great. So,
right.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to it, but I feel Okada's definitely going to win it out on this one.
All right. Next match that probably could be match of the night also. Could be Shinsuke Nakamura, the King of Strong Style, going up against Bullet Club member Machine Gun, Carl Anderson. I'm going to go ahead and say Nakamura because I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Who you got?
I'm going to say Nakamura too because Carl Anderson, he's just known for like he gets wins. He gets wins, but like he's a tag team specialist for the most part.
Yeah.
He'll have a really strong single showing, but he'll never be able to actually win big, you know? And him going against Nakamura, no. He's not beating Nakamura.
Yeah. Oh, so he's like Jimmy Jacobs. because Jimmy Jacobs is a tag team specialist, but he can have good single matches also.
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah, there's a big breed of guys that know how to do both. Let me see. All right, so that was night two. We can go to night three with the Martial Arts Center in Kyoto, Kyoto. This is July 24th on Friday. They're going back to Block A with Kota Ibushi going up against Doc Gallows. Both of these guys have zero wins. Who do you have winning? I'm picking Ibushi. Fuck that.
Ibushi, definitely. I don't see Doc Gallows winning many matches, and for him to win against Ibushi would be really silly.
All right. Togi Makabe, who has two, going up against Bad Luck Fale with zero. I'm picking Togi Makabe.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Togi Makabe, too. Yeah, he's always had strong showings. I definitely see him doing taking Fale out, because Fale is kind of like a shell of his former self. Like, at some point, he was a monster in New Japan, and then, like, he wasn't. And after that, all he's been doing, just like Yujiro Takahashi, just doing tag matches and shit like that every now and then, and that's about it. So I definitely feel like Togi Makabe, with his NEVER championship, he'll win.
Alright. Next match, it should be a no-brainer, because Toriano, who has zero, going up against AJ Styles, has two. So, yeah, Styles. Fuck it.
Styles, definitely. Talk about all that shit with Toriano.
Tetsuya Naito, who has two, going up against Katsuyori Shibata, who has zero. Who are you picking? I'm gonna try Shibata.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, I'm definitely going with Shibata this time. Yeah, I feel like Naito's one of those guys who's gonna end up being like middle of the pack, points wise. I think same with Shibata. Shibata will probably be middle to higher range point wise, but yeah, both of them are not gonna win this tournament, but Shibata will definitely come out with more points than him at some point, so I'm definitely going to go with Shibata.
Alright, this one is actually a match with two winners, because Hiroshi Tanahashi, who has two, going up against Hiroyoshi Tenzan, who also has two. So who are you picking with this one? I'm going to choose Tanahashi.
Yeah, gotta go with Tanahashi. I feel like Tanahashi, he'll either win the block, coming second, or coming second or third in his block. Yeah, okay. I definitely feel that way. So yeah, I don't see Tenzan winning much either. Especially dude's older and more injury ridden. Though both of them are injury ridden for the most part. I feel like Tenzan is, because of his age and his history of injuries, like, it's not going to look great for him during the tournament. I'm actually kind of predicting him, he may not even finish the tournament this year, especially with the longer schedule. So, I'm definitely going to go with Tanahashi.
So you're calling it.
Yeah.
All right. Jot that down pretty soon. Next is July 25th, Saturday. This is going to be day four, and this is going to go back to Block B. Tomohiro Ishii going up against your Yujiro Takahashi. I'm a choosing Ishii.
Ishii, that's not even a question.
All right. Satoshi Kojima going up against Unbreakable Michael Elgin. I'm gonna choose Elgin.
You know, yeah, I got Elgin on this one. Got
to get a win. But I don't know when.
Yeah. I think he can take it from Kojima. Yeah. Yeah.
Alright. Next up, Hiroki Goto going up against the machine gun Carl Anderson. Goto.
Goto, he's IC champ, man. Yeah.
Goto. Shinsuke Nakamura going up against Yuji Nagata. I'm gonna go with Nakamura.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Nakamura too, but this match is gonna be great though. I definitely feel like this one's gonna be on point though.
Alright. And the last match they have here, the IWGP champion Kazuchika Okada going up against Tomo Akihanma. This could be a lot of fun, but Okada's winning.
Yeah, this one will be a lot of fun. Yeah, definitely Okada.
Alright, and I guess we'll move on to July 26th, Sunday. We got a lot of
good. Sunday.
At Hiroshima Green Arena. The match they got back on Block A, Doc Gallows from the Bullet Club, going up against Bad Luck Fale from the Bullet Club. And I don't think we ever booked any of these guys to win, but one of them has to.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out with Bad Luck Fale. You really can't lose with either pick.
Well, who was he facing again?
Doc Gallows and Bad Luck Fale.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Bad Luck Fale.
Yeah. Either pick to me, I believe, is a safe pick. Who knows what they're going to do. Hiroshi Tenzan going up against Toriano. And I'm going to choose Tenzan.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with that. Togi Makabe going up against Katsuyori Shibata. Shibata.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Shibata on this one too.
Alright. This match could be match of the night. Former champion AJ Styles going up against former champion Kota Ibushi. I'm gonna go with Styles. It's too strong.
Oh man.
I can see Kota Ibushi winning. I can see it. But man, yeah, I don't know. Now that AJ Styles lost that title, it is possible.
Yeah, I think if the Edge will go to Styles.
Right. The Edge will go to Styles. I would like Ibushi to win, but if I put money on it, yeah, AJ Styles will win. Tetsuya Naito going up against Hiroshi Tanahashi. This could also be another great match to have here. I am going to go with Tanahashi still.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tanahashi also. Yeah.
All right. And July 28th, Tuesday, at the Beacon Plaza, going to Block B. This is Yuji Nagata going up against Yujiro Takahashi. I'm going to choose Nagata. I don't have Takahashi winning anything.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Nagata too.
Hiroki Goto is going up against Tomoaki Hanma. This could be actually pretty interesting. I'm going to choose Goto, though. You can pick Hanma.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Goto.
Alright, Tomohiro Ishii, if he's still alive, he's going to face the machine gun, Carl Anderson. I'm actually going to give it to Carl Anderson on this one. I think he's going to pull it off. I think Ishii's going to be too injured to even be at 100% by this day.
Yeah. You're right. I think Carl Anderson might pull it out.
We gotta start booking some upsets too. So, I'm gonna say Carl Anderson's gonna pull this off for the Bullet Club. Next match could be really, really interesting and could be match of the night. Shinsuke Nakamura going up against Michael Elgin. And, man, I can see Elgin beating him. I do not know why, but I'm picking Nakamura.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Nakamura, too.
Safe bet. But if Elgin wins, I would not be surprised. I'll be like, wow, they really trust this guy. Next match is Satoshi Kojima going up against Kazuchika Okada. I'm going to see Okada. Okada's not losing, is he?
No, I don't think so. Jeez. Not for a while.
This is the last one we're going to do because it starts on a Wednesday, and I don't think we're going to cover it on that day. It's going to be over by the time we do another show. This is day 7. My God. July 29th. This is going to be Block A. Toriano versus Doc Gallows. And... Doc Gallows.
Like Toriano is probably going to like pull it, like squeak by on this one.
I can see him doing a roll-up. Yep. Yeah. Oh, man. Doc Gallows. Yeah, yeah, I'm gonna say Yano now. Now that I see the situation, I'm gonna be like, okay, Tori Yano, you got a victory over Doc Gallows. Next up is Togi Makabe going up against Hiroshi Tenzan. You pick first.
Oh, who is it again?
Togi Makabe against Hiroshi Tenzan.
I'm gonna go with Makabe.
I'm gonna go with Makabe. Fine.
Yeah.
Katsuyori Shibata going up against Kota Ibushi. Could be match of the night. Could be. I'm going with Kota Ibushi.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Ibushi too.
Yes. I'm going with him. Hiroshi Tanahashi going up against Bad Luck Fale. Maybe Tanahashi squeaks out with a win. I'm gonna book that. But Bad Luck Fale is gonna do some damage to that boy in his back, and that might slow down the momentum for Tanahashi, because I believe we booked him to win every match so far. But he's got to slow down. This is a tough tournament. So I'm going to pick Tanahashi, barely.
Tanahashi.
All right. In the last match, Tetsuya Naito going up against AJ Styles. And I think Naito might squeak out a win with this one, too. Damn it. I'm still picking AJ. I'm too confident that's
yeah,
AJ's still going to win.
I got AJ. I feel like he's going to be the runner-up in his block, and I don't think losing to Naito is going to help him do that.
No. That is it. We have booked half of the G1 Climax. The next event is August 1st. We will book next week. Hopefully everybody follows along like me. I've been following along with G1 Climax now. Everybody got some points on A-side. They'll start it up again tomorrow. Anything else about the book, the shows for the weekend, or unless you want to go through that now. I feel like we're missing something else.
We're missing, what else? Just little updates and shit like that. Hernandez.
What happened with Hernandez? I don't know.
Yeah, apparently, the whole business with Hernandez and TNA and Lucha Underground, you know how they broke the story last week about how Hernandez was, he's under contract with Lucha Underground, but did a whole bunch of tapings and segments and all this other stuff with TNA. So Lucha Underground ended up handing them a cease and desist. And basically all the footage that they used with him and the beatdown click and all that other stuff like that, that just went south. So Hernandez ends up in the dust because, like, apparently now, it was said that his contract with Lucha Underground was almost up. And even then, he still had to, he signed a no-compete clause. So, either way, he screwed himself. So, like, now everything's all topsy-turvy with him. And at the same time, after this Hernandez deal and all this other stuff, basically, I believe this is what broke the straw that broke the camel's back for MVP. And now he is gone from TNA as well. So,
jeez.
Yeah,
poor
man.
Guy.
Yeah, shit is wild, man.
I don't know how he's gonna make money now. He'll find out something. Maybe he's in AAA or something.
Who, Hernandez?
Yeah, is he in there?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does some work with AAA. Lucha Underground. Maybe he can probably try to crawl back to them, but I don't know. But yeah, he does work for AAA and stuff like that. So he should be fine.
Hopefully, I don't like watching people having no job and whatnot. At all. But that's bad. And unfortunately, he dug himself in a hole, but he's a tall guy. I'm pretty sure he'll get himself out. You know. Yeah. Alright. Matches of the weekend. Both shows of the weekend. They have here Pro Wrestling Guerrilla's Tremendous Four. It's gonna be on Friday, July the 24th at 8 PM Pacific time. Don't forget that. They only have four matches here. But that was enough to sell out the front row. That was $60. I thought it was $50 last time. Okay, whatever. The matches that they have announced here is Speedball Mike Bailey going up against your hero, Chris Hero. And I'm pretty sure that's going to be actually really, really interesting. The tag team match between the former champions of Candice LeRae and Joey Ryan, World's Cutest Tag Team, going up against Dan Barry and Bill Carr. Tremendous. Team Tremendous. And that is Rob's Tremendous Tag Team. Ricochet going up against the returning Akira Tozawa. That is actually, I'm going to call it maybe say match of the night. Oh, nope, not yet. Because the Young Bucks are going to be there. They're going to defend their World Tag Team Championships against Angelico and Jack Evans. And I believe they just won tag team titles in another promotion, I believe. Was it AAA? Don't know. All right. But I believe they did just win tag team titles not too long ago. The next, let me see. After that, unfortunately, y'all didn't hear Roderick Strong defending his PWG World Championship because he's not there. He is going to be in Ring of Honor. That will be Death Before Dishonor at Baltimore, Maryland, where we run things around here. We're not going to be here. I'm not going to be here. Tuesday.
Boo!
Should be here in attendance.
Yes, I will.
I don't know if Mofo or Rob is going to be there. I'm not sure. But it will be live on iPay-Per-View. So please have a lot of fun. Don't do nothing reckless. And watch out for crazy people. The matches that they have here. Will Ferrara going up against the Last Roadman, Silas Young. And yes, I did see the YouTube video where it was Silas Young's public service announcement. And it was actually Will Ferrara sounding just like Silas Young. I thought that was quite entertaining for him, but I'm pretty sure he's going to get his ass beat down for that because he is a Last Roadman. For the first time ever, Dalton Castle will face Adam Cole, baby.
Adam Cole, baby.
And that's another match that's probably going to be really interesting, and the fans will probably be behind both of these guys. Your client, Moose, is going up against Cedric Alexander, getting himself some revenge for him taking away history.
It's two clients, man. It's both of my clients going against each other.
Both of your clients are going against each other. You are the winner. You don't lose in this type of match. Moose is going to get his revenge against Cedric. Hit him with that wrench. You know he's going to have some type of grudge. Who are you picking out of these two to win, Moose or Cedric?
I think they're going to try to drag this out. So, I got Ceddie Boo winning.
All right. Another first time ever match. Jay and Mark Briscoe going up against Trent Beretta and Rocky Romero or Roppongi Vice. Action could still show. It's possible. It is possible. The Briscoes are really good. This one is serious. This is a serious match. Reason being, it is no disqualification. Your boy, ACH, going up against the Decade's Adam Page. And I don't know what they're going to have in store here. I'm pretty sure they're going to have a story-built match here. At least ACH is in some type of feud. This match, which I wish I was here to see, a four-corner survival match for the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championship. The champions, The Addiction, going up against War Machine versus my clients, Red Dragon, versus The Kingdom. Oh, my God. Who do you have winning the World Tag Team title match?
I got the Addiction retaining.
God damn it.
I'm sorry.
God damn.
I'm sorry.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm thinking Red Dragon.
It's a sad reality of it.
I know. They're not even doing anything.
Right?
They're not doing a thing. They should never have had those tag titles. But, of course, me, I'm picking Red Dragon. But if I want to be logical with this, any winner except for the Addiction. Even the Kingdom. I pick the Kingdom over the Addiction. War Machine. Those are my best bets for new tag team champions. Like Red Dragon already held them three times. The Kingdom held the IWGP Heavyweight Tag titles. You know, but War Machine never held gold. They will be my next option. This match for the Ring of Honor World Championship, this is the main event and could be match of the year. The champion, Jay Lethal, going up against the challenger, Roderick Strong, who has been on fire all year. If you were the Booker Man, who would come out with the Ring of Honor World Championship?
Oh, of course, Jay Lethal. You crazy? Why would you have such a historic champion lose his title in only a few months? And man, it's not.
Ring of Honor likes to surprise people. They did it with the tag titles and shit.
Well, that's the tag titles. Most companies love to play hot potato with that in the tag titles at this point, you know?
Yeah. It's possible. I'm telling you, Ring of Honor would be dumb to do it. But, he's been on a roll. Both of these guys have been on a roll, you know. But Roderick Strong already had the world title. You know, maybe he can lose and team up with Austin Aries. I'm pretty sure they're already thinking about that. You know, and Jay Lethal can still move on as Ring of Honor world champion. I would pick Jay Lethal. The next night will be just another TV taping. This will be Aftershock. The matches that they have here is the match of the year far as rivalry of the year. Cheeseburger going up against Brutal Bob Evans.
Oh, hell yeah.
We're going to have to close the show with that match. Watanabe is coming back. He's going to be facing your boy ACH. The Briscoes are going up against a tag team, the Bloodbound Warriors of Red Scorpion and Grey Wolf.
No.
I actually know Grey Wolf. Grey Wolf was the heavyweight champion in EWA when I was commentating. Big stocky dude, you know, but I didn't know he had a tag team partner named Red Scorpion. The Briscoes are winning. Silas Young going up against Dalton Castle finally know who the real man really is. And former partners will face off a Steady Boo going up against Caprice Coleman.
Oh, he's beating his ass.
Oh, definitely. No doubt. The Kingdom of Matt Taven and Michael Bennett will go up against my client's Red Dragon. And they're already saying, will this be for the Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles? Because either one of these guys can be the tag team champions if they beat the Addiction. It's possible. Roppongi Vice and Rocky Romero and Trent Beretta going up against Nick and Matt Jackson, the motherfucking Young Bucks.
Motherfucking Young Bucks.
Super Kick Party is in the house, so. And for the Ring of Honor World Television title, the champion Jay Lethal, who will be defending his title against Hanson. Now, Jay Lethal did not drop the title. They still have that number one contenders for the television title. I believe they already had that. I don't even know who won that.
I don't know.
But would you give the title to Hanson right here?
No.
No? You would keep the title?
That would be too much, too sudden. I don't know.
Okay. I think Jay Lethal keeps the television title as well. It's not often that you see a champion have both belts and keep both belts. Normally, they would drop one, or they would keep belt and then drop one in a match somehow. You know? It's possible that could happen. But I like the two belt deal. You know? Maybe one day he can defend both titles at the same time, or both titles in the same night, like he'll open the show and close the show. Something like that. We normally don't bring them up, but I think it is proper time to talk about Beyond Wrestling. Reason being, on Sunday, July 26th, on Rob's brutal birthday, they will have American Rana 2015. I've seen every American Rana that they've had. This is the third one, and that is basically their WrestleMania.
Yeah.
The matches that they have here, this is the winner-take-all fatal four-way match between the Hoods of Davey Cash and Chris Pyro, going up against the Garden State Gods of Eric Corvus and Mike Quest, going up against the Symbiote of Davey Vega and Ricky Shane Page versus Anthony Stone and Nicholas Kay. Now, the next match is a casket match between the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont, against the Devil's Outlaw, Stockade.
Stockade
is badass. The next match is the first time ever. Could be a show stealer. Could be a nice undercard. David Starr, the product, going up against the whole shebang, Johnny Gargano, who is returning to Beyond Wrestling. Next match is Tomoko's match, Team Pazuzu, hosted by my client, Chris Dickinson, Jaka, Mike Drastic, Angel Ortiz, and Pinky Sanchez, going up against the Hit Squad of Monster Mac and Mafia. Wait, Monster Mac and Dan Moff. There we go, Mafia. I like calling him Dan Moff. I like calling him Dan Moff, not Mafia. But yes, the Hit Squad and my client Shinron, Nick fucking Gage, and a mystery partner. Three question marks. This match, pick your partner. The Beaver Boys of John Silver and Alex Reynolds going up against Ryan Glenstone. Ryan Galleone. And Brian Myers. I think they already picked their partner, but okay. Teacher versus student. The teacher, Brian Fury. The student, Donovan Dijak. 44, that's me, baby. The next match, it is, okay. They're calling it the fucking tag team match. The Kingdom of Mike Bennett and Matt Taven going up against Biff Busick and the Legal Eagle, Drew Gulak. This is a grudge match, and this is not intergender. This is Kimberly going up against my client, Heidi Lovelace. American Rana 14 rematch. This is best friends of Trent Beretta and Chuck Taylor, who I haven't seen in a while, going up against Team Tremendous of Dan Barry and Bill Carr. I believe last year, this is the match that injured Trent Beretta and kept him out of action for the Battle of Los Angeles last year.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I
believe that was the match. And this tag team match is a year in the making. Nick and Mac Jackson, the Young Bucks, going up against Death by Elbow of JT Dunn and your hero, Chris Hero. That is American Rana 15. That is all the does all the shows that I have for this weekend. Would you, Doomsday, like to move the five-star wrestlers?
Not exactly.
Good, because no. I'm done. I really don't feel like it. We could just do this next time.
I think we missed, but I think we missed a few things or something like that. What, Tough Enough?
Oh, Jesus.
We didn't. I don't watch that shit. But from what I've heard, the guy Patrick, who happened to be an MCW guy, he ended up getting eliminated from the competition. A lot of people say that, yeah, he was the best out of all of them. Like, everything head to toe was great. I guess he just came off, like, real abrasive or some shit that rubbed some people the wrong way or whatever. But, yeah, this was, like, a big hit. Apparently, like, there were just people, just a whole bunch of groans, a whole bunch of grumbling, saying, like, yeah, he definitely shouldn't have gotten eliminated. And even more so that now people are trying to campaign for him to sign him anyway and all this other shit like that. That would be dope, though, for him. That would be cool, because I guess that's what his dream is, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, and then one notable one notable opponent of all that has happened was Mick Foley. Mick Foley did not like what happened at all. He was not a fan of it.
Don't blame him.
Yeah, can't blame him at all. Basically, what he said that, yeah, now that they lost their best guy, there's no point in watching anymore, you know? So I guess he's going to kind of give up. And I kind of understand it, you know?
Right.
Like, if you lose the best thing out of something that you're watching or doing or whatever, and, like, you wouldn't want to keep going, you know? Like, it's a waste of time, you know? So, yeah, Tough Enough. Mick Foley's even stated that the voting system or whatever is flawed. It's too much of a popularity contest. Like, I definitely see his point in the popularity contest thing, but at the same time, like, don't you kind of want fans to like you? That's kind of the whole point or something like that. But I don't know. He could have been a good bad guy. So even though people didn't like him, like they should at least vote for the best person, which was him. So, yeah, tough enough, man. It's just not that great, man. Yeah, I think Paige, like, criticized him heavily, heavily or whatever. I guess she felt some type of way about his attitude or whatever. But I don't feel like it was her place to act the way she did, but it's whatever. He did have some support, though. He had, Hulk Hogan liked him, Jericho liked him, Miz liked him, so he had, like, three guys who've all been world champions, that thought that he was it, you know? So,
yeah.
That are part of the show. So, it's, definitely interesting to see where he goes, because, like, now, like, MCW, of course, has been advertising heavy that they've had him as a student and a wrestler. So, he definitely has a place in MCW. I definitely feel like now he has a place, like, up and down the East Coast. I feel like any place would want to, like, have him for a little bit of a draw, you know? Yeah, could end up anywhere. Could end up doing some work for Beyond or CZW or shoot, even Ring of Honor could think about an idea of signing him. He used to do security work for it when they came to town. So that's something they'll probably keep in the back of their minds. So it's sky's the limit for that kid. It's gonna be good.
I hope so. For a guy to come from our neck of the woods, kind of like our Rich Swann.
Yeah.
It sucks that he got out. Not even like the top three. It would be nice to see him in the finals. But the WWE tends to have a winner, and they don't do nothing with him, but they sign the people that they kick off early. And I think they did that with John Morrison and a couple other guys.
Yeah. They even did it with freaking Cameron. Oh, God.
Right. Even Cameron, you know.
So anything is possible.
Yes, that is true. Anything is possible.
Just based off of hers.
Yeah. So.
But, yeah, I thought it was interesting how they had him do the whole tough enough thing, and now he's eliminated, and his partner, who he was rolling with in MCW, is now the Shane Shamrock Cup winner. So I wonder what's going to happen with those guys once they get back together.
Right. Who knows, man? I don't know. That whole tough enough thing. It's like, if you want to find the next star, you're watching NXT.
Exactly, right?
That's what I'm thinking. Shit. So, I don't know.
I think they WWE did it more for the hype, especially they did it in an era where, like, in this era of social media, like, a lot of it's just things are coming out rapid fire. So when they initially had the whole casting process for it, it was just a huge thing. But now that the casting process is done, and we've seen all the videos and all that stuff like that, and the show has started, like, it's like, yeah, there's nothing special about this at all.
Right.
I think that's what the problem lies. But, yeah, definitely the social media hype leading up was definitely something that I guess they knew was going to be cool. But the show just fell flat besides that.
Damn. Well, that's it. That's all I got. You got I know we had some more stuff, though. Did we cover everything?
What else?
We had something else. GFW related?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Speaking of ROH, when I was talking about Patrick, ROH issued a cease and desist to GFW. Reason being is that GFW has a show, I believe, on Friday where they're doing a TV taping because, lo and behold, apparently they have some type of TV deal. I don't even know the full details of that, but you're doing their TV taping. So, of course, they're going to run ads to try to get people to come to the show. Only problem is they used ROH talent in the ads. Dudes that are signed to ROH. And so they're doing this, ROH is doing this whole cease and desist for them to stop running the ads, blah, 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 and all that stuff like that. And this could definitely impact people because maybe ROH decides, even though some of these people weren't booked for the Death Before Dishonor show, they may end up just pulling them from GFW altogether. So this is a thing that we could think about going forward. But yeah, it's just GFW just keeps hitting road bump after road bump after road bump. I still don't think that thing is like real, you know?
It's not real. I still think it's not real.
It's some elaborate thing to kind of garner, like, suction something from TNA. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, it is definitely weird. Now, do we clear everything?
Yeah, okay. I think that's it.
Okay. I think that's it. This might actually be the shortest episode ever. Maybe a little bit. I think last week was still long. But yeah, that is it. We will come back next week. Tuesday, you want to plug your shit?
All right. Yeah. Doomsday519@tumblr.com. At Joey Doomsday on Twitter. Then Doomsday519 on Daily Motion. And I actually made a YouTube channel again. It's Doomsday Space Gorilla, and Gorilla is spelled the same way PWG Gorilla is spelled. So yeah, I uploaded a new video on both Daily Motion and YouTube, and it happens to be a moose video. So go check that out. And that's all I got.
Alright, at NMZ Podcast, that's where you can follow us on Twitter. Please hit us back and tell us how cool the show is and how relaxing it is to have it under an hour. You know, just see, if you want to have more people, you let us know if you think we're good on two. Talk to us, something. Him, Rob, Mofo, or me, don't matter. Just give us a line, drop us a line. Alright, that's it. We'll see you next week. You got any closing words for us? We gotta find something.
Hey. Smoke weed every day.